Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Show. I am your host, Nicholas Lorimer, today joined by Mr. Herman Pretorius. Let's get into our first news story of today, and our only news story of today, and that is the second attempt at a budget 2.0. And a lot of questions remain. So we have the Finance Minister, Iro Korongwana, read a budget speech, and it proposed an entire budget. One of the most controversial things in this budget is a 0.5 percentage point increase to VAT to be implemented this year, and then a second 0.5 percentage point increase to VAT to be enacted next year if government can't make up the money in the meantime. This appears to have been the ANC, as far as the ANC got in watering down the VAT increase of 2 percentage points, which it originally proposed in its first attempt at a budget. The finance minister went on at length to describe that no, this wasn't taken lightly. They couldn't increase corporate tax rates because corporate tax rates in South Africa are already too high compared to our competitors. And there will also be the income tax brackets won't be adjusted in a way that is favorable to taxpayers as well to try and raise a little bit more money. Basically, it also laid out a couple of other things, you know, money for teachers, money for infrastructure, all that sort of stuff. But here's the problem. No one knows if this budget is going to pass. In fact, it looks increasingly likely that it won't. Now, just before the budget was read, DA leader John Steenhuisen said the DA would not support the budget when it came up for a vote. And it's not clear who's going to. There's some talk that maybe the EFF will. Which is possible if the EFF gets the support, if the ANC gets the support of the EFF, and then a couple of the smaller parties like the PAC and Al Jamahat will be able to pass the budget. Maybe MK will vote for it, but with MK, who knows? They've so far said they will not support any VAT increase. And it kind of looks like the ANC may have just presented a budget that's doomed to go down in flames. We'll talk about that a little bit. So, Herman, my first question to you is, you know, do you think the DA is making the right call here by sticking to its guns and saying that it will not support any VAT increase in the budget?
It would have been politically impossible to do anything other than that. Partly because of the budget showdown a few weeks ago and how they sort of played that. It is this problem of politics is that you play the hard card once. If you then misplay the second card, either by going in hard again, you might just look obstructive. But if you compromised, you might look weak and erode any advantage that you might have gained politically from the first play. So what the DA also did over the last few weeks that made today almost inevitable in terms of that rise is that they just went for very clear messaging, no VAT increase. No VAT increase. That was the drive on which they've signed up members. That was the messaging that they've been really pushing. So if they had gone even to a 0.1% VAT increase, it would have broken that promise or that commitment that they've spent the last few weeks making. So the DA went into this with massive, I think, risk, but also credible clarity. One of the allegations against the DA the first time around was that they didn't say no to a VAT hike until it was too late. This time, that accusation can't even be made. Last time, there were some people who said that the deputy finance minister should have stepped up. But the reality is that he did. From within National Treasury, from correspondence I've seen, it is clear that very early on, the DA's parliamentary and cabinet opposition to that original 2 percentage point VAT hike was made clear. But this time, not even the allegation can hold any water. It was very public the whole way through. What is astonishing is that we might just have seen the silent trigger of the end of the GNU, because this budget, as I understand it, was presented to Parliament by the minister without cabinet backing, without the sufficient consensus mechanism in the statement of intent of the GNU being effectively adhered to. And that means that a fundamental breach of the GNU agreement has now taken place. What that will mean is not yet clear, but what is clear is that the DA has hardened its position on a willingness to end the GNU, but it is most likely the case that before they trigger that final detonation, the ANC, as it did last time, might be willing in a humbled state to make some concessions. And from what I understand, the DA's concessions are going to be pricey politically to the ANC. So we really are now at we are approaching the moment of real truth as to whether the ANC was always going to pretend the GNU was there to prop up their majority and allow them to govern as they have governed in the past, or whether they are honest enough to know that the loss of majority means you can't do what you want.
So let's talk a little bit about the EFF. What role do we think they're going to play in all of this? I mean, obviously, we're going to be speculating a bit here because we don't know exactly what they're going to do. But, you know, the ANC has, through all of this, the moment the disagreement started to happen with the DA, they started to talk about, well, no, we'll just go to the EFF and then we'll see how much you like that. So I guess I have a number of questions for you. First is, do you think any form of the GNU could survive if the ANC did pass this budget with the EFF's help? Does that mean effectively de facto that the EFF will replace the DA in the GNU? And the next point being also that will the EFF, which is struggling at the moment and looking for a game changer or something, will they take some sort of cooperation with the ANC, even if it means endorsing the politically suicidal prospect of increasing VAT on poor South Africans, on all South Africans, but especially on poor South Africans? Mm-hmm. What do you make of this?
I think the answer to both your questions is yes, that the EFF is desperate enough at this stage to, I think, fold on the strong position they took a few weeks ago. The EFF is perhaps the party in the country with the most seamless track record of flip-flopping. Despite the perceived clarity of their ideology, they really are famously all over the place. And it hasn't really damaged them too much, but this might be a flip-flop too far. A VAT increase is hated across the board. It is only appreciated in the CADA patronage networks, which is supposed to be funded by that VAT increase. So the EFF might go for a desperate gamble here. It is, after all, we are now assured, the Malema project. So Mr. Malema can decide he would rather be a minister, be a deputy minister, and keep a presence in parliament, you know, 2, 3, 4 seats in parliament down from the 39 they currently hold. He might go with, he will either have his party decimated and he remain in a cushy position in a job in parliament. He is number one on their parliamentary list and he will always be that. So there is a scenario where the EFF for the remainder of this parliament just collapse before our eyes, get reduced to a UDM-type party at the next election for this betrayal, but with Mr. Malema just being fine with it because, you know, his parsnips are buttered. The other question of whether the end of the GNU would be affected by the EFF passing here, I can't see it any other way. A government in the parliamentary system that we have relies on its majority meeting the challenge of two votes, two critical votes, the appointment of the executive and the passage of a budget. If this GNU cannot pass a budget, it has failed in 50% of its basic functional mandate as a governing majority. And for the DA to remain in the GNU after being, you know, aggressively sold out with the EFF or MK being brought in, a wealth tax being placed on the table, I mean, it will make them look even more catastrophically weak than any FDA critic might have accused them of being over the last year or so. So will the DA survive in the GNU if this budget is passed without DA support? It would be insane for the party to do that. And then, of course, the question is, what will Gayton McKenzie do? What will Corne Mulder do? What will Willem Kosinihlabisa do? These three parties make up the sort of the wild dogish coalition part of the GNU, parties that you could realistically see in a post-ANC or a non-ANC coalition government similar to the multi-party charter. If the DA goes, Free and Front Plus will have to go. I think politically, Corne Mulder isn't not a fan of the GNU. Willem Kosinihlabisa and the IFP might decide to stay for the clout it gives them, for the stability of the ruling arrangement in KZN where they hold the premiership. And the PA is sort of like the EFF, one of those parties with a charismatic and slippery enough leader to get away with flip-flops, one of the flip-flops being, you know, he got into government when he said he wouldn't.
Interesting. So we are once again at another critical point. I wonder how markets and the business community are going to respond to all of this, because I suspect there's going to be quite a big freak out if suddenly this government collapses. And there'll be a lot of pressure put, particularly on the DA, but also some of those other parties, as you say, to try and keep them in the GNU or make them compromise on the VAT issue. But I think what the business sector may not realize is that this VAT thing is politically poisonous. And the ANC has kind of put a giant, dead, rotting albatross around everyone's necks by introducing it into the public debate in the first place. You know, when you have a majority, you can push this through and then, you know, people will be unhappy, but things can sort of go on. But no one wants to be the vote who made it more expensive for every single South African to buy things they need.
100%. And this does smell like an act of utter desperation. An ANC that is now properly past the point of no return of any sort of internal reform. My hopes died of ANC reform died many years ago, but for even the most optimistic reformist, this must now be clear that the ANC has politically, I think, screwed the pooch. There is very, very little left. If it can't even on such a politically obvious decision as this retain some maneuverability for political gain, I'm afraid the political blood is leaching from a carcass.
And on that vivid image, we'll call it to a close. Thank you very much for watching. We hope you found this interesting. And we will see you tomorrow on The Daily Friend Show. That's a wrap. The Daily Friend Show and The Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR. Or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.